Happy birthday, Cal Draper. Thank you to Carmichael Dave for joining us to explain his ridiculous position on all this. You know, Dave looks at the Kings the way people in Boston and in Chicago used to look at the Red Sox and the Cubs before, you know, they actually won World Series. But it's that same sort of defeatist self-defense mechanism of things may be good, but I know something bad is happening.
Well, yeah, and it's sort of ingrained into the Kings' DNA. Like, even when I first moved here, you know, the fourth quarter, let's say, you know, the Kings would find ways to lose games. So even if you had a lead or something, oh, just wait to the fourth quarter, you know. And we're sort of like you said, Dave is in that place now, you know. Team's up 20. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, you know, here we go. I'm like, yes, we're up 20. Things are good. I'm texting people. We're kicking their butt, you know. But, you know, there's the other side where people are like, oh, I'm nervous about this. You know?
I think some people look at what's gone wrong this year is almost like, well, it was inevitable after the success they had last year. So we just don't need to think that way.
We don't. And here's the thing, Whitey. This team has 45 wins. What are we doing, Sacramento? 45 wins. This is a team that 5 years ago we would have loved to have 45 wins.
You should take us 5 years to get 45 wins.
Is it perfect? No. But to wish the season is get over with? Like, we can't handle success then. You know, because it's like, it's, think about this. If you're Miami, if you're the Lakers, if you're any team that's not one or two or three, it's like, oh, man. You know, Dallas is only a few games ahead of us. New Orleans is only a game ahead of us, two games ahead of us. Phoenix only, are they rolling up the, you know, throwing in the towel, you know, packing up and leaving? No, why are we doing that? Sacramento, enjoy this. Enjoy what's going to happen these last three games. Sure. Embrace it. We're playing meaningful basketball games in April.
Yes, that matters. That's something that we should embrace. It is true, though, as you went down that list of teams, I was remembering, we were just ahead of Dallas. You know? I know. It's true. Yeah. There's some truth to it. It's just a matter of, okay, which way are you going to go? And how do you want to feel about
it? And let's be honest,
how do you want to feel about
Dallas
it?
Dallas added players. We lost
players. That's the key to the whole thing.
We lost. Dallas added talent. We lost talent because of injuries. So right now, we're wounded. We're limping. We're running a four-legged race with only three legs right now.
Yes, we are. Yes, that's the key to the whole thing. How come Mike Brown does this? How come Keegan does this? Why is this? Is that? They didn't improve the roster. Right. Maybe they had good reason to. I don't know. But that's the reason why they're in this predicament. You've got a lot of other teams now, and they're starting to play their best basketball. Not everybody is. Looking like you mentioned the Suns struggling. They made some moves, but the Kings didn't make any moves. So here we are, just hanging on. And there's something to be said for a scrappy team just hanging on that can still do some damage.
Yes, they could still, you know, advance. And I said it last segment. I still think this is a playoff team. It may have to be through the play-in
you
route.
You took Dave's bet, right?
I did not. No, don't. I'm not standing outside. Come on, man. Yeah, first of all, I need security out there. You know what I mean? I can't be out. You know, right. Dave Carmichael, Dave's hooligans that listen to his show. I can't be hanging outside. But here's the thing, too, Whitey. And I'm actually more on board. You're gonna think I'm crazy. I'm actually more optimistic right at this second than I was 2 hours and 7 minutes ago about a potential number 6 seed.
Really? About a 6 seed?
A 6 seed. The Pelicans, fantastic season. But they got us. They got the Lakers. They got the Warriors. Those teams still plan for things, too.
Mm-hmm.
They theoretically could lose all three.
That doesn't seem like a stretch.
It could happen. Now, we'd have to take care of our business, but before I was like, oh, it's definitely 7 or 8, but there's a glimmer of hope, and I'm going to look at the positive, the optimistic side of things.
Yeah. You know what worries me about some of those permutations? You talk about Pelicans and they play the Lakers, I think, is it?
Lakers
the last?
Yeah.
And we don't know if the Lakers are going to be playing for anything, and hopefully they will. And I think Phoenix plays Minnesota on the last day of the season.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota, but Minnesota maybe.
Maybe or maybe not.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
And it could come down to that final day. And
this is kind of fun.
It is fun, right? We're talking basketball. Wait, think about this. And you said it earlier. We usually are looking at the NCAA tournament. Which draft pick do we have? ping pong balls.
Yeah.
And we're doing profiles on lottery picks right now. Yes. I don't care about Zach Edey or anybody coming out. I'm trying to win games right now.
You might want to save on to some of those bios, though, if things don't work. Just get Mandy. Just don't get rid of him.
Right.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Bill joins us on Sacktown Sports. Bill, how are you on this Kyle Draper birthday?
Oh, Kyle Draper, happy birthday. This is, I don't know if you remember me, Cheer Dad connection.
Yeah. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, what's up, man? I think that people are just disappointed because we should have won 10 more games than we've won. And then I started thinking about that, and there's probably 10 games that we maybe shouldn't have won.
Right.
So we would still be in the same boat. But the long and the short of it is that we're underachieving. We should have achieved more than we did than we did this year. Not maybe no more than last year, but it's hard. It's just a tough thing where I don't want the season to be over. But I also don't want to go into the playoffs weak. Last year, when Golden State and the Lakers went into the playoffs hot, they went to the semis, right? So I just don't see the Kings doing that if we limp into the playoffs. We got to win these last three games. We got to finish strong and end hot.
Thank you, Bill. This reminds me, this isn't quite what he said, but it reminds me of, I think it was the year the Bills played the Giants in the Super Bowl, Norwood, Wide, whatever.
Wide, right?
Yeah. And I remember that year, I think, I could be wrong a little bit on the details, Buffalo played Denver that year in the AFC title game, and fans in Denver, at that point, Denver never won a Super Bowl. Some fans in Denver said, we don't want to win because we don't want to go get crushed in the Super Bowl again. Like, what?
Sort of, yeah, I see, yeah. Right, yeah, what kind of logic is that?
I don't know if we want to get into the playoffs without momentum.
What are we talking? We're talking about having an opportunity in the tournament, basically. And I hear you, Bill. The team isn't looking good right now. They're up and down. They're struggling. But I think they can make some noise, you know? And think about this. If you do make the playoffs, what's the availability of Malik Monk? Might Malik come back midway through that series or something? And think about it. We're still a week and a half away from the start of the actual playoffs. That's another week and a half for Malik. And so this Kings team might even look better in a week and a half. And so the way Bill's talking, Miami should have just hung it up last year. You know what? Lost the first playing game. Forget about it. You might as well just... And they rode it all the way to the finals. Not saying that's what we're going to do, but I'm always for more basketball. Keep playing.
Yeah.
Go as far as you can go.
Give me a chance. Give me another game. Give me another game.
Yep.
Imagine this. The second play-in game against who? Just it doesn't matter who.
Let's say against the Warriors.
Okay. And early, I guess it'd be what, late first quarter, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a ball goes out of bounds, a timeout. And now into the game for Sacramento. Number zero, Malik Monk. That'll be an unforgettable moment.
Yes.
Win or lose.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. He
win
come out
or
there
lose.
Like Willis Reed limping out there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
give me that.
And I maintain we are at 45 wins. We won 48 last year, and we were ready to hold a parade for those guys. We're at three games off that pace with three left to go. You can still get it, and now we're ready to break it up.
Here we go.
Get rid of Mike Brown, all that. No! No! What are we doing, Kings fans? Come on.
Yes. What are we doing? Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about De'Aaron Fox. How come they don't send him to the line anymore?
Yeah, we got
it. It's because the NBA didn't send anybody to the line anymore. Details next. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. One of the things we talked about earlier today on this Kyle Draper birthday show. And we talked about it yesterday. Kyle Draper talked about it yesterday on his TV show with Mike Bibby. De'Aaron Fox, he can't get to the line as much as he had earlier in the year. Well, there's no denying that the league is officiating the games differently. Case in point, if you haven't heard about this yet, you're not going to believe this actually happened last night. You had the Bucks and you had the Celtics.
Yep.
And let's see, Milwaukee won that game 104-91. 19 seconds left in the first quarter. And Giannis was fouled by Luke Kornet while going up for a putback attempt. And he shot two free throws, made one. And those were the only free throws in the whole game.
The whole game. Two free throws the entire game. Zero for Boston.
Between the Celtics and the Bucks.
Right. And mind you, and I know Giannis got hurt in that game. Giannis is one of the league leaders in free throw attempts. So is Damian Lillard. And there was only two free throws the entire game. Unbelievable.
The Bucks, four fouls were the fewest ever committed
only
in a full
four
game.
Fouls?
Yes. No.
Dog, something's wrong. Something's not right.
Yeah, the two combined free throws, the fewest in a game in NBA history. The previous low, would you want to guess what the previous low was? It was...
I'd say like...
It was 2019.
2019?
Yeah, I would have guessed.
I'd say like 11, maybe?
That's exactly right. It was 11.
Yeah.
Celtics, the first team ever to shoot zero free throws in a game.
Mm.
The old mark had been held by both the 2014 Hawks and the 2018 Grizzlies, who had attempted one. But yeah.
On the move. Got.
Yeah. Doc Rivers said, Adam Silver's the happiest. 157 game time.
Oh, yeah. That's all that matters, right? You know, unbelievable. And, you know, those are two teams that routinely get to the line talking about Celtics Bucks. And, you know, we talk about De'Aaron Fox not getting to the line. You know, free throws are down two a game, I think it is the number, right? And I just think, you know, it's gone too far.
It has.
The other way now.
It has. You know? There was a play last night, and I apologize. I don't know if it was Rui or somebody on the Lakers who was going up for a dunk, and GP2 came and just knocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hachimura, yeah. Yeah. All body up there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And there was no foul. And you could see the players get the rebound and look around like, wait, you're not going to call any? Okay, we'll play on. The players on the court couldn't believe it wasn't a foul.
And I talked to Mike Bibby about this and this, the league, you know, sort of swallowing the whistle or not calling as many fouls. You can't, like, in the middle of a season to do that, that's impacting and altering a team's season. And sure, everybody has to adjust. But if getting to the free throw line is a big part of your game, or let's say you're a team like the Kings that don't get to the line a lot, now you're taking away even more opportunities to get to the line. It puts us at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't like doing it middle of the season.
Yeah, I don't either. And I just don't like the way they're doing it. If you're going to... make a point of emphasis, you know, taking some of the flops and things out of the game and taking incidental contact out of the game. All right. I mean, it depends how you do that, but I understand that. But when you've got guys just, you're not calling what are obviously fouls, right. Like, well, it's not basketball anymore.
It's not basketball. And I believe not calling fouls, letting contact go, is more of a gray area than, like, it's easier to call a foul because you call in and see it. Now you're leaving it up to the official, the gray area. Well, was it marginal contact? Was it this? Was it that? No, just call the foul.
Yeah,
if there's contact,
right.
Just call the foul. Now, you know, and we've talked about it before, with you swallowing the whistle, different refs have different, you know, levels of severity of what a foul is or not. And I just, the NBA is going down a slippery slope because what's going to happen, and I hate to bring this up, Kings fans, but the officiating is going to be a subject in the playoffs. There's going to be a game where somebody gets fouled on a crucial play, sort of like in the football, in NFL, pass interference and everything. Like, you know, there's going to be a critical call that's going to have us thinking, oh, man, the fix is in. Or they're trying to, you know, get the Lakers to the finals. Or they're trying to get the Celtics or something like that. It's too much of a gray area.
You're right. They are risking... opening a real can of worms.
Yeah.
That's why they have the 2-minute report, and they would never say this, but they have the 2-minute report because years ago you had, you know, Donaghy's name linked to potentially like a gambling scandal. Now you've got gambling everywhere. And now can you imagine if there's some huge game that affects the, you know, the point spread and just millions and billions of dollars change hands on a foul that's a foul but not called. That's going to just cause more problems for the league, a league that's been trying for decades now to remove themselves from that thought of, oh, the games are rigged.
Yeah, it's you know, when you introduce gambling too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we see it with Jontay Porter.
Yes.
You know, the guy for Toronto, the young rookie who's, you know, sort of being held out right now. I mean, it just introduces a slippery slope, a Pandora's box of issues that could go wrong. Really quickly, Whitey, I just pulled up the two-minute report from last night. I hadn't dove into this. And there are a few incorrect calls, and they both went against the Sacramento Kings. And one was at 118.
So two calls that went against the Kings at the two-minute report says those were incorrect calls.
Exactly. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander moves his pivot foot before entering his shooting motion.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
Incorrect non-call. Should have been called for traveling. But how about this? On an out-of-bounds play at 125 left in the game, Chet Holmgren is the last player to touch the ball before it goes out of bounds.
Oh, I remember. That's on a missed free throw, wasn't it?
Sacramento should have been given position. Incorrect call.
You could tell because Holmgren, he made a face.
Right.
He was like, okay.
Right.
And they knew that, yeah. And I guess the Kings were, they'd already used
the challenge. They lost the challenge earlier. Yeah. He couldn't challenge that. And so two calls late in that game went against our Sacramento Kings.
And they were both pretty easy calls to make, even if you're just watching on TV.
Right. And, you know, they used to be able to look at that, right?
Like, yes, they used to look at out of bounds.
Yeah, the out of bounds. And they stopped it maybe last year or something like that, right?
When they brought in all the coaches' challenge. They changed some of those rules.
Exactly, yeah. And so, man, that's hard to swallow. Two calls went against you in the final minute and a half.
But the travel doesn't really bother you, you said.
Nah, it doesn't because, you know, I think you can call travel probably 10 more times a game, really, if we're being a real stickler with the rule. And so, obviously, in that situation, late in the game, you wish they would see it and call it. But
the reason it bothered me, I understand your point, bothered me because, as we discussed, it was Davion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Davion
had him. He was well defended to the point where he was not a threat.
Right.
And he had to travel to put himself in position
sliding
to take
that pivot
the shot.
And moving and,
you know, if somebody like Harden, some of that step back stuff, that's a travel, but okay. Or somebody's in transition, he took an extra step. But this was, he needed to travel to free himself to take the shot.
And all eyes were right there. It wasn't like it was a moving player.
Right.
Like it was like, I see. Yeah, I get it. But, you know, I just, you know, those kind of things.
Well, like
you know,
Mike Bibby told you on TV when he said,
everybody travels.
Like, remember against Boston. De'Aaron Fox traveled, you know, when he missed the shot, and then Colby Jones got hit in the face. I mean,
see, I thought who was it? It was Peyton Pritchard. I thought he fouled Fox.
Really?
That's what I thought.
Dang! Man, see,
and that didn't show up, but I thought he bodied him good. And now, by today's NBA standards, like, well, that's not a foul,
right?
And then I thought Barnes got hit. I mean, I thought there was like three fouls that could have, but the one to Colby was so blatant.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I don't know.
By the way, Jonte Porter, we mentioned him. What do you think of Commissioner Silver saying today that Jonte Porter could face expulsion from the league if the accusations are true?
No, rightfully so.
That's the only way the NBA can go, huh?
Yeah, you're done for life. Like, there's no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that you're throwing games, if it's proved to be true, like, that's the one thing that players have a control over. And you just can't have that in the NBA. And the fact that you have betting so much on it now, too, it's like, nah, man, you got to be on the up and up.
When you look at how ham-handed this was, where whoever was betting, like they obviously were not aware of the algorithms and how they were going to get caught. It makes me wonder how many guys have done that, but just more artfully. We'll never know. I'm not saying anyone's been throwing games, but, you know, hey.
Just something small,
throw a
maybe,
game,
or
you
something.
You guys need a little something.
You know, people are human, right? They're human, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody might have money troubles or something.
Right.
Or you just never know. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that still doesn't completely answer the question. Why doesn't De'Aaron Fox get to the line? What did we decide on that? It's a combination of the Kings taking too many threes and him shying away from contact.
Yeah, and not engaging in the contact, not selling calls. Like, all that, man. It's an art form, Whitey, getting to the line. Look at all the guys that take free throws in the NBA. They look to draw fouls. I don't think De'Aaron looks to draw fouls.
When we come right back on this Kyle Draper birthday special, here's where I think a lot of fans are missing the boat on what's up with the Kings. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Before we get back to the Kings, just a quick note on what's going on with the A's, Vegas. Yesterday, the Nevada State Supreme Court heard arguments about putting funding for the ballpark on a ballot, and they did not come to a decision. Most people feel if the state Supreme Court says, yes, you can, if you get enough signatures on your petition, you could put that on the ballot. Most people feel like, well, the funding will not be approved and that the Vegas thing will fall apart if it comes to that. It's funny. There's a lot of people that look at this now and say, we're not even sure Fisher wants to go to Vegas anymore.
Really? People are thinking that?
Yes. Now, this is the way it potentially pencils out. And I'm rounding some corners here. The Kings are, I meant the A's. They're worth about $1.5 billion. A new ballpark in Vegas would increase the value by about $1 billion. And the way it's set up now, it would cost Fisher about $1 billion of his own money to get the project finished. Some people say, well, wait, if he has to spend $1 billion to increase the franchise value by $1 billion. You know, and then you factor in overrun. So some people wonder if he really even wants to go there at all.
Really? But where would, like, is Sacramento is in play today?
Come on
what are you
now.
Talking about?
Speaking into an existence.
Some people look at it and think that what he's doing here is biding his time and that he will sell the franchise to somebody in Oakland. There's a lot of people in the Oakland area that want, like Lacob has said, I will buy the team if they ever want to sell it. Vivek, I mean, he could pit some of these deep pocket individuals against each other. Then baseball would have Vegas to go to as an expansion city. So
why wouldn't you?
There's something weird about
all this drama and everything.
And maybe that's part of it. Because, you know, like Jay talked about it last week when they had the press conference and Fisher says, oh, it's great to be here. And you're going to get to come out and see, you know, Aaron Judge hit home runs here. Now, see ya.
See ya.
And he's gone. So there's something about this he don't want to talk about.
Yeah, that's...
So I don't know, but it's just odd.
It is odd, and, you know, maybe it is great for Sacramento.
Maybe.
But why come here in the first place? Why not make that known? You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't want to go to Vegas in the... Like,
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's a fair point. He has a chance to make some money and increase the franchise's value here. Just think, that's going to be... Don't you think it's going to be a hot ticket here?
And
he's not paying any rent. I don't
not
think.
Paying it. No, he's not. He's like, no, we'll use your facility.
Yes.
But I've had A's fans, Jay and Whitey, tell me they would buy season tickets to the A's in Sacramento next year. Mm-hmm. Like they're interested in looking at season tickets for the A's when it comes here to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So that place is going to be jammed out, I think. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, especially for, maybe for all the games.
But that's money in Fisher's pockets too, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Rent free.
Yeah, whatever the deal is. And doesn't it sound like the deal is basically, John, what do you want?
What do you want? Yeah, just use our place.
Oh, yeah.
You can sleep at our house. Like when you have a house guest. I'm not going to charge you rent.
Right.
Go in the fridge, eat whatever food you want or something.
And I think it makes the most sense that Vivek sees this and says, that Vegas thing, there's a really good chance that it's not going to work. So... Scoop and score. He's waiting for the scoop and score. Even all expansion stuff, that could happen. I think that's still a real long shot, but I think he's waiting for the scoop and score.
And he's positioning himself, right, for the one-hop bounce.
Yes.
And run.
Yeah.
Yes. And I get it, man. Vivek's a smart businessman. And he knows probably, and I know he said what he said last week, but he knows landing an expansion team here in Sacramento probably a long shot.
Yeah.
If it's already here, ownership falls through, Fisher decides
Fisher's
to sell.
Apparently they're good friends.
Good friends, exactly. You know, maybe Vivek buys, you know, a big stake in it, you know, a partial stake in the A's, whatever. But it's a shrewd business move, I think, for Vivek. Because he's not doing this just out of the kindness of his heart. He's not doing this just to help out his friend John Fisher. There's an end game in it for him, and it's not just for 3 years.
Now, this really bothers me. Jay, it does not bother at all. Okay. The fact that they're not going to be Sacramento. They're just going to be the A's. That really bothers me. How do you feel about
it? It bothers me also.
Does it?
It really does because it signals to the fans,
Give us feeling some kind of commitment.
We're just using you, yeah, right? We're not really committed, you know? It's like, yeah, you know, being in a relationship, you know? Let's get married. Well, you know, let's not get married. I'm not going to wear the ring or something like that, you know? And so, and it gives the, you know, a illusion that, you know, it's just a temporary thing. And we're reminded of that every day, it feels like.
What would really bother me is if they sell gear that says Sacramento A's, but they don't actually
Call it. That would be.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
You might as well get ready now.
I wouldn't put it past them, right? Like, seriously, a chance to make money? Why not?
Oh, it's going
to
happen right now. Guaranteed. But you can't have a, like we have the King store down there at the G1C.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to have a store down at Sutter and they don't have Sacramento in cursive or SAC or 916 or something. You know what's coming.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of this whole issue as to whether they really expect to go there or want to go there, if I'm not mistaken, the A's asked for the trademark on Sacramento A's like last
week.
Yeah.
The same day.
And they had not asked for the copyright of the trademark on Las Vegas A's.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
They had not.
Wow.
And now they have.
But at the time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The SAC and Sacramento A's was copyrighted the day of the press conference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I read that somebody else, like one of the A's advocacy groups, they're the ones that they're trying to get the copyright for Las Vegas.
Wasn't it Last Dive Bar that was kind of throwing their name out there, something like that?
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? We're going to go get it. And then the A's were like, nope, no, you're not. We're getting that too.
So it's, no matter how you feel about it, it's exciting, but it's still kind of puzzling. It's like, what's really going on here?
Yeah, something behind the scenes, it might be happening. You know?
Fellas, as a friend, Vivek John Fisher, and with the understanding of what we heard and, you know, all articles and everything coming out that people around in the know knew maybe a week and a half, 10, 11 days prior to, you know, the A's and Sacramento and Vivek group and whatever Vivek's group is called, coming together and saying that it was going to happen. You can't tell me, fellas, that Vivek has not sat across from John Fisher and said, I want a standing offer just like John Lakeup as well, right? Like, you can't tell me Vivek hasn't thrown that out there on the table, just like you're talking about Drapes, is he's a sharp individual and saying, if you do sell, I want to be one of those parties that comes to the table with my offer. You can't tell me he hasn't asked that or said that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm sure he has, right?
Of course.
I'm sure he has. It reminds me of, and I'm going to switch sports just a little bit, but John Calipari leaving Kentucky to Arkansas. He met with the Arkansas officials and they were gauging, you know, his feedback on potential coaching candidates. And then ultimately they turned to him and said, hey, what about you? Would you be interested? I think Vivek is sort of doing the opposite of it, you know? Yeah, I'm going to help you. But if you do think about selling, what about me? Take a look at me, you know? And so I got to believe, Jay, you're right, man. Those conversations have been had.
Fascinating article in ESPN today by Tim Keehan. He's been all over this story. And to the point Jay made, he details some of the meetings right before the official announcement. And it looks like the A's, sure, they met with Oakland the day before the announcement here, but they had pretty much decided. And apparently there were people already telling people, oh, it's going to be Sacramento.
It's going to be.
Before they'd even had their last meeting with
Oakland. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And you know, the vibe I get, and I don't know, you know, as much as other people, obviously, it seems like John Fisher, no matter what, was hell-bent on getting out of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the deal that, you know, Oakland made, and I read the article, you know, the A's and John Fisher were quiet for so long that Oakland city officials thought it was a done deal. Like, they were gone. And then in February, Oakland, the A's come back. Hey, we need to find a place to, you know. And so I think John Fisher and them, they've been hell-bent on leaving Oakland no matter what.
Here, I read this yesterday. Eno Saris, who writes about baseball and
athletic
minor leagues, he was on a podcast or somewhere. He said, the A's have not been pouring any money into their minor league system.
Yeah.
Really? For a rebuilding team, he said they are not putting any money into it. He says if they were to start now, they'd be like 5 or 6 years behind everybody else.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he meaning John Fisher, the majority owner of the Oakland A's, of course, since 2016, since splitting with Lou Wolf, he has single-handedly tried to make this team leave Oakland. Like, they do not want to be in Oakland. And if you even go back further, it seems as if, as much as, you know, we've heard the San Jose and the Fremonts and, you know, the, Lou Wolf and John Fisher bought the team 05, 06, I believe, one of those. And it doesn't seem like they really want to be anywhere else anyway without side the Bay. Right. And, you know, San Jose seemed like a place that they wanted to go. And the Giants and San Jose had put a lot of money into it. But when have we heard John Fisher come out and say himself, not Dave Cavill, not, you know, anyone, no representation. When is John Fisher, who never talks, ever come out and say, you know what? This is where I want to be. Me, never. Personally.
Yeah.
Never. And so with that being said, why was anyone ever believing that he wanted the A's to be in the Bay Area? Like, we know he did not want that to happen. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, you would have went ahead and sold the lake up and said, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and one thing, too, you know, with John Fisher not investing in the product, not investing in the team, you go back to any business, when they're about to be sold, and this raises a red flag to
very
me.
Very true.
You're not buying the new equipment. You're putting duct tape on the copier,
right.
Hoping what,
right.
You know, and that's what it seems. You're stripping it down, basically, and, you know, that's what it seems like.
Well, here's the thing about Vegas. The major league owners, the rest of them, realize something like that could be afoot. So they put in place an agreement. If Fisher moves to Vegas, he can't sell the team for, I think it's 2 years, without incurring.
Yeah, 3, I believe.
3 years without incurring major financial penalties.
Right, yes.
Because they thought, oh, we don't want this guy to go through all this and then boom.
Get it and then just sell out.
But fellas, how does that? That doesn't deter anything. We just saw what happened with the Marlins. It was kind of the same thing set in place. They just went into 5 years up. We're out. We got our money.
Sweet.
Done. Yeah, it's not like he's hurting for money.
No, but he could be assuming a lot of risk going there. I mean, it might not work out is the only thing.
Well, I get
it. If he's there a number of years, he could end up incurring
some. Well, if that's the case, the nation have never gave him revenue sharing.
Well, you know,
there's so many different
things. So many things.
You guys are still padding his pockets, man. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I got a feeling maybe they even regret some of their decisions. I mean, this whole thing is backfired on all of them, too. So where does it go from here? There's a lot of people looking at Sacramento and saying, Sacramento's nice, but it's not a major league facility. How is baseball doing this? Rich Eisen, did you see Rich Eisen?
No, what'd he say? No, he said
basically, he's like, I can't believe it. The owner gets up there and talks about how much he's looking forward to Aaron Judge being
other
there.
Other players, yeah.
How many do you think you could beat John? Do you guys think you could beat John Fisher in naming Oakland A's athletics right now?
Ooh. Players on the team?
Yes.
Come on. He got to sign. He signs the checks, right? Come on,
no,
Jay.
No, you know what he does? You guys seen cartoons where, like, the big boss, the millionaire, the billionaire, whatever, he just has, like, a print stamp.
Eyes closed. Just.
Yeah, but he's not signing nothing,
man. Did
you
see this? It was last summer, I think it was.
Checks already cut, Drake.
You're right.
Mathai that he talked to.
Yes,
he did an interview, sat down with him. And people noticed when it was done, there was a piece of paper in front of where Fisher sat, and it had, like, the names of the players on it.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
His notes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was a farce. I don't want to say anything because Raj is I've never met him, but I know he's been in the news.
He's just doing some softballs?
Yeah.
All right.
Man, they were predetermined questions.
Oh, yeah.
Softballs on a tee, you're saying?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Pinatas?
Yes.
All right.
Kickballs. So, the red kickball, rubber kickball.
Those big ones, yeah.
When we come back, it's a good thing Domas deleted his social media accounts. Fans are not happy today.
Oh.
Where did this all come from? As the Drive Guys roll on Kyle Draper's
birthday.
Sacktown Sports. One more time, let's hear it for Kyle Draper's birthday.
Clap it up. Oh, I know what the station gave me for my birthday. You want to hear?
A pin.
No,
let me guess, a Bluetooth speaker.
No, an hour off. So I got about 13 minutes left, boys.
Did you ask for it or was it?
It was taken. It was taken. You know, I got to get the birthday festivity started, fellas. You know, got to get out in the streets.
Oh, I can see you tonight opening presents. Like, oh, it's another box of Kirkland balls. Thanks. No, thanks. That's funny. I get it.
It was somebody said they play with Kirkland's. Actually, man, they like are at
next
a member.
Time I play, I'm gonna use
at,
them.
They're a member at like a private country club and play Kirkland's. I'm like, no, you can't do that, man. It's like being a billionaire and shopping at, you know, I don't want to say the store, but yeah, you can't do that. So.
Yeah, it'd be like at Pebble or something, huh? Like, are you playing a Kirkland?
Right. No. Play like 600 for the round and, you know, $2 for the ball. But I'm playing on Friday, actually. I'm playing some golf and getting out at Empire Ranch. I have to let you know how I do. Yeah. Been working on a few things.
What shot was that?
That was the chip. That was the that was the lob wedge right there. The lob wedge chip right there. So
I got to admit, I didn't know until I saw, it was one of your buddies, I think, on Twitter. Posted a picture of Kirkland, and they had the yellow, the optic
yellow.
Right, yeah. Like, I would get those when I played golf. No, I always had the optic yellow because, and people would look at me, you know, it's like, oh, we're above that. But every, you know how often you go, like, everyone hits into a green,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, whose shot is whose? And I'd always
you just
know,
automatically
mine's
know.
Mine's a yellow.
Oh, sure, yeah. I might do that. I've never, I mean, I've played with other colors, but I've always been a pure white, you know, kind of ball. So I might switch it up.
I mean, as long as it's a quality ball. Now, Kirkland,
right.
Kirkland's a quality ball. There's no question about that. Yeah. Hey, what do you think of the Domas slander today? The double-double streak ends. He only had seven
shots
last night.
That was tough.
Kings needed more from him in a big game like that.
I'm not with the Domas slander, and here's why. Now, if you want to criticize him for having a bad game, yes. If you want to say he needs to be better, which I said earlier during Drape's takes, yes. But slander? We had Brendan on and we talked about the positives to come out of this season. You guys said Keon. I think Domantas Sabonis has been the biggest bright spot this year.
Wow.
The dude has been better than expected. Consistent. All NBA caliber. Like, when it's all NBA time, I think Domas will be named all NBA. And so the slander.
Second or third?
Second or third. Yeah, second or third. Probably third, I would think, just because of team success. But all of the slander, like, I don't get it, man. It's we're so reactionary now. It reminds me of the Harrison Barnes slander. It's like HBO have three good games, nothing. Soon as they have one big game, oh, see, I told you. Same thing with Domas. Domas has been great all season long. Does he need to be better than he was last night? Yes. But are we really going to knock this guy for one bad game? He's been the most consistent guy on the team all season long.
61 consecutive double-doubles, that streak ending.
Yeah.
Last night.
Were you worried about that at all as you watched? Like, was that something you know, was in the back of your mind at the forefront there? Like,
I wasn't sorry to see it end.
Really?
Because I think a little too much was made of it. And that's like, okay, he's had a great year.
You've been trying to holler at Jerry Lucas for like 3 months now.
I'm really close now.
You're super close.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel that they were hunting out the double-double last night?
No, and I watched
that. Like the one Keon Ellis, the layup that he could have had, and he dumped it off to Domas and turned it over, or Domas missed the shot.
No, because I didn't even think of that on that play.
Okay.
You know, because that was obviously, they're down five. They needed a quick two.
Right.
No, I didn't really think so. And then he had another. I think he had a little jump hook from the baseline when he only had 8 points.
Yeah.
And he like it didn't hit anything.
Yeah.
But that was a shot he should have taken. Last few games I've seen him, like the game in Brooklyn, you know, you could tell they were hunting. I think it was a triple double they were hunting a little bit. But last night, no. I didn't feel that way.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, I was a little sad to see the streak end, just because, especially that way too, like. If it ends when you only play three quarters or something because it's a blowout, but to end that way, that's like adding insult to injury. You lose the game and the streak. It kind of, you know, it felt a certain type of way. And so I was bummed to see it end.
Here's why I was okay with it ending. Just being 100% honest with you. There was a time when guys used to put up double-doubles and no one even knew it was a thing. It's mm-hmm. a fine accomplishment. I thought maybe in some ways a little too much was made of it. That's not his fault. It's nobody's fault. But, like, I think this is the longest double-double streak since Elvin Hayes in 1974 or whatever.
Right.
I guarantee you when Elvin Hayes, when his streak ended, no one even knew he had a streak.
But why?
It's like double-double.
That's
double,
different,
like,
though, now. We're
that's
about,
what you're supposed to,
we're about
supposed
stats.
To do.
We're about records now. This is the culture we live in now.
Yeah.
Triple-doubles.
And because,
when Magic Johnson was putting them up, you know?
Right.
It was nice. It was great. But now, you know.
I just think we make too much of them sometimes, especially the double-double and the triple-double. That's not his fault, and it doesn't in any way undermine what he's accomplished this year, but I'm okay that we're not talking about the streak anymore.
So double-digit assist streak, stuff like that, that's,
I mean, that's hard to do. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But a double-double for a center, it's like, yeah, that's really good, but
okay. Why, how come guys haven't done it, you know, as much as him? Like,
because
you got to go back to Kevin Love.
Because 53. He doesn't play with any other rebounders. No, I really do think that's one reason he gets so many, and he's a great rebounder.
Right.
But does he ever, I mean, who else on that team is a great rebounder that he plays with?
No.
Yeah.
No,
so that, you know, I think that had something to do with it. And again, I'm not trying to take
I know,
shots
you
at
take,
him.
You take, dude, that was like the biggest thing news-wise. Like, last year was the beam. This year, it was his streak that we were all watching for game after game after game.
And also, now that it's over, it's like, it was a really great streak. It's a thing now, and it's done. It's like, wow, 61 games.
Now it's just you back to regular old basketball watching.
Yeah,
now.
A new streak, time for a new streak. When Jerry Lucas is, I got a feeling I'm going to hear from Mr. Lucas here soon.
Oh, okay, let me give you something from the 916.
Yes.
Come on, Drapes. Domas has to be better offensively. Dude is no lob threat, not a rim protector, not midi, no midi, mid-range jumper, no free throw, no hook. Come on. And
he's got a nice little hook.
But yet he still averages 20 and 13 to go along with 8 assists.
Don't you think Brendan made a great point when he joined us? And I think Brendan said he got it from somebody on the chat earlier in the day, Stiles and Watkins. Offensively, Sabonis really misses Malik.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The two-man
I hadn't
game.
Thought about that. I was like,
all
oh,
the bigs
yeah.
do, for sure. Yes. Yes. Malik gave Domas at least 2 or 3 buckets just off the little pocket pass.
Yeah.
You know, the two-man
Malik runs
game.
A pick and roll better than any other guard on the team.
Exactly. Yes. He definitely misses him. Because when you look at it, too, the points Domas has to get, he gets on his own. Nobody's setting him up or anything like that. You know, De'Aaron's not running a two-man game with him. It's just not what the offense is. And so, yes, I do think he misses Malik. Real quick.
Yep.
916. Jay, I need you to weigh in on this also. My wife is a teacher, and another teacher who is a Kings fan told her she is the Keegan Murray at the school. Do you take that as a compliment? If somebody said, you're the Keegan Murray of this radio station, you're the Keegan Murray of this school, is that a good thing? Is that a compliment or not? That's pretty funny, right?
Now, who's the fan, the woman that said it or the woman that received the compliment?
The woman who said it.
Is a Kings fan.
Yeah. Another teacher who is the Kings fan said,
You're the Keegan
Murray of this school.
Sounds like she didn't mean it that way, right? You can mean it any which way. But
I don't know when. What does that mean even? Like,
I think
no emotion? No what?
He might be, you know, Keegan's like the nice guy.
Okay.
He's got a lot of, ceiling that he still needs to reach. He's the person that the Kings are kind of latching their future to in certain ways. I think it's a good thing. I'm going good thing.
You may be.
All right.
Yeah,
positive.
Yeah, I'm going
thing.
I'm going positive.
My honest reaction to it was someone saying, you need to do more.
Right. Step your game up.
Yeah.
Or I like to think of it as this. This person might be a young teacher, first or second year.
Right.
You got all-star potential. You could be the best teacher ever. That's how I like to think of it.
Fourth pick of the draft.
Right.
A high lottery choice.
Yes.
I would love for that person to let us know when they figure it out.
Right.
What the intent was. That's a good one.
That's a real good one. I love that.
Michael Scotto is going to join us at about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And he writes for Hoops Hype, does a podcast. And he talked to Malik about the likelihood of him staying. We've got that coming up. And when we come right back, what I think, as I said earlier, what I think a lot of fans are missing about the Kings.
Okay.
And I think you're with me on
All
this.
Right.
Let's go. It's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.